Hello, this is Regina. How are you doing? Happy Sunday. Happy Easter. Hello, Laurent. Thank you for joining us. So we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is the time that is set aside to go over the personal messages that have given to me to be helpful to me. And as you probably all know, right now we're in that period of time where I'm actually going over the messages that were given to Laurent and me together in order to be helpful to the both of us. And last week we started a message called, You Are Closer to the Kingdom Than You Think. And so what we're going to do is we're going to be continuing that message tonight. That message is dated October 29th on reginadonacres.com. And I'm giving you a link to that message now so that you can open it if you like. And what we will do after the prayer is, even though we're starting kind of halfway through the message, I'm going to start at the beginning again and just kind of read through it without a lot of comment, just to get our minds refreshed on where we were. And then I will begin, with the commenting when we get to the part of the message that is new. What I would like to do, of course, absolutely, what I would like to do is begin with a prayer first. So if you all would join me in the prayer, I would greatly appreciate it. Holy Spirit, as I close my eyes now, I feel a prompt to be grateful for stillness. Of course, whenever I feel a prompt to be grateful for stillness, I also feel a prompt to be still. Today has been a day of work for me. I've been working nonstop since 5 a.m. this morning. It's magnificent work. I am listening to the NTI audios for the last time before they go to the publisher on Tuesday. Making sure that every detail is perfect and ready to be cast onto 1,000 sets of CDs and 1,000 DVDs. In one aspect, in one way, it seems like I need to keep moving, need to keep going through the work. But at the same time, as I sit with this work, there is within me this stillness. I'm going to call it stillness with a finger. Because as I am listening to NTI and going through NTI, one third of the book today alone, it is still highlighting for me and prompting for me and deepening for me, and reminding me, and guiding me. This stillness finger. Thank you for the gifts that it gives. And without words, it points out, always pointing out what is most helpful, always bringing out what is most useful, always guiding us and never taking a break if we are willing for it to guide us always. I ask for the stillness finger now. Let it point out for us as we go over the messages that we will read tonight. Thank you so much. Amen. Okay. So, I came out of that and I forgot where I was for a second. Took me a second to remember where I was and what I was doing here. But that's right. I have the mic and I'm supposed to be sharing a message. I'm back. Okay. I remember what we're doing now. Let me give you the link again. I think a few more people popped into the room while I was saying the prayer. And as I mentioned, I will start by reading from the beginning of the message, but you know, the real commenting will begin where we left off last time. The name of this message is "You Are Closer to the Kingdom Than You Think." It was a message, you may remember, that was given to me after 24 hours of pretty strong emotions, a lot of fear, including the fear of that I was going to be killed, right? The feeling of being abandoned, right? And then looking at that with Holy Spirit and realizing that everything that was happening so that I could let go of those thoughts and so that I could awaken. So here was the question I asked after that 24-hour period. Holy Spirit, the last 24 hours have been amazing, and I am grateful for all of it. I am not going to pretend that I know what question to ask, because I don't. But I know you have something helpful to share, something that is deeply helpful. What is it? Here's Holy Spirit's answer. Asking an open-ended question when the mind has experienced an array of emotions is useful. It allows me to address everything without singling anything out as most important. Thank you. This is what I have been asking you to do. And by that, Holy Spirit means get less specific in my questions. Which gives Holy Spirit more freedom to answer in the way that is most helpful. The main challenge now is that of letting go of personality, and the personality does not seem willing to go. That is because the light is suffering from the delusion that it is the personality. So it is using the power of light to hold to that which it sees as itself. It's good for you to see this, to realize this, because this takes you back to the teaching of the power of light. As you see the great resistance you put against releasing the ideas of the personality, while also realizing that all of those forms of resistance come from you, you once again step into the realization of your power. This realization is a great place to be because it is accepting the truth of who you are. Accepting this truth will move you closer to releasing your hold on personality, which is another step in the direction of realizing fully who you are. Look at everything now through the lens I have given you. There is nothing that can occur in your life that you do not have tools with which to see. Everything can be understood through the messages I have given you. When you are not understanding something, you are making it more complicated than it needs to be. Everything is simple. And seeing everything through this simplicity will show you exactly how to see. You are at a place in your willingness where you are ready to know yourself as you are. In order to take this step, you must stop avoiding the games you try to play. Let the games come to you without seeing them as fearful, without trying to hide. Hiding from games or denying them only teaches the mind that they are real. Let the games come to you now, all of them. Let them come that you may say goodbye. Each one that comes is a blessing. Recognize the purpose and remember your truth, and you will know how to say goodbye. So again, there are a lot of things in life that when we believe we are the personality, the little S self, and we believe the world is real, that when we see these circumstances coming our way, we try to avoid them. We try to manipulate things or control things or change things or fix things or change ourselves so that we can be better, be more good. And Spirit is really asking us to give up all of that, because when we try to avoid what we think is going to be painful for us by constantly controlling things, what we're really doing is continually teaching ourselves that we are the little self and that the world is real. Spirit is saying that because we've made the choice to awaken, because we've made the choice to awaken, everything that is coming to us so that we can let go of the false decisions that we've made before. We're saying goodbye to beliefs. We're saying goodbye to choices that we made before. You know, it's as if when we made these choices before, we kind of threw a stone into the water, and now there are ripples. And we want to go ahead and just let the ripples come and go right on by without throwing more stones into the water, right? Everything that is happening is coming so we could say goodbye to it, which is also saying goodbye to the personality and also saying goodbye to the world. So Spirit is asking us not to react, not to try and control, not to try and change, not to try and fix those things that we definitely would have tried to avoid before by controlling, fixing, changing, right? Now, this next paragraph is where we begin new. We haven't read this yet. And so here's what Spirit has to say. I could tell you this will be difficult, but I will not. The part of your mind that wants to hear this, the part of your mind that wants to hear this will be difficult, right? The part of your mind that wants to hear this is the part of your mind that wants to drag this out. Can you guys hear that? The part of your mind that wants to hear that this is going to be difficult is the part of your mind that wants to drag this out. This isn't necessary now. You are closer to the kingdom than you think. Keep your face turned in this direction, right, towards Spirit. Do not turn to look at the signs that say you have very far to go. Those signs are only distractions, and they do not change what you already know. You know this. Your only error is listening to the false and believing the false is true. You sometimes do not recognize the false, but I am pointing those times out to you. Now, you must continue walking forward in trust, always asking me to help you see. As I point a tripping stone out to you, gently remove it from your path. Eager willingness will keep your steps consistent with me. Now again, if you remember the story that I told last week, I misunderstood someone, but I misunderstood that person to be threatening to kill Laurent and me. These are the types of things we normally try to avoid. Do you agree? Now, my first reaction was to go to Laurent. And that was actually when I went to Laurent over the phone. That was out of my desire to try and avoid. I wasn't going to Laurent to say, Laurent, help me to see this differently. I was going to Laurent out of fear, saying, you know, there's this bad thing that might happen. What are we going to do? So we could figure out a plan, right? So my intention for going to Laurent was out of fear in order to avoid being killed. Laurent did not have patience for me that night, which I took at that time to be an abandonment by my partner. But I later came to see that was absolutely the best thing that could happen. Because when I was, quote, abandoned by my partner, it left me with only one other option that I could see, and that was to go to spirit. It would have been nice if I'd thought of that first. But I eventually got there. So I went to spirit with this fear, and this was literally the fear of death. I went to spirit with this fear. And without words, this message came later, and this message includes really the clarity that was in that time that I went with spirit. But when I went to spirit directly the first time, there were no words. There was just understanding. So without words, spirit helped me to see that everything that was happening right now had only one purpose, and that one purpose was to awaken. And spirit helped me to see that what I needed to do was look at my mind, at all of my fears, at all of my thoughts, and let them go. This was here to let go of everything false, to let go of the belief that I was a self, a body who could be killed, right? To let go of fear, any fear at all that said that I was vulnerable, that said that there was fear of death. This situation was here to let go. Spirit did not make any promises to me. Spirit did not say, if you spend this time doing what I'm asking you to do, I promise I'll take care of the situation and he won't kill you. Right? There were no false promises. For all I knew during this period of time, this script was going to play out. This man was going to show up at the conference as I thought he was, and he was going to shoot me and Laurent like it sounded like he was threatening, right? And Spirit didn't make any false promises. Spirit just asked me to let go of the fear. You know, I did a teaching last Friday morning. If you haven't heard it yet, it goes really, really well with what we're talking about right now. It was from Jan Fraser, Jan Fraser's book. And she talked about the reason we don't let go of fear is because we believe it protects us. That's a 30-minute teaching. You can find it posted on reginadonacres.com on the Awakenings link. It will be dated last Friday. Let's see, which was April 22nd. But you can tell that this situation is one of those situations. Is you know, it seems like the fear that's coming up, telling me that, you know, this person is going to kill me, and me calling Laurent and trying to figure out what we're going to do, that within the world all seems sensible. It's not crazy to try and avoid being murdered, right? But when I went to spirit, spirit's guidance, without any promises about what was going to happen in the script, was to let go of this fear. And what he did make me a promise. I take that back. He did make me a promise. What he promised me was this was happening to help me let go of the world and the little self. That's what he promised me, was the purpose. And he asked me to join with him in that purpose, wanting nothing except awakening, not wanting the body to be saved, not wanting the situation to be avoided, wanting nothing but awakening. And I did that. Let me tell you, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. I ended up letting go of that fear at that time. And as you know, this message came the next morning. But let's fast forward, I don't know how far, a year and a half maybe? Fast forward a year and a half? Some of you guys know this part of the story because you were involved in this. About a year and a half later, this same person that seemed to be threatening Laurent and me at this point, threatening to come to a conference and blow us away. He said, I'm going to blow you away. In fact, what he said was, he said, I don't want to, but my guides are telling me I have to. I'm going to blow you away. You see why maybe I got scared from those words? About a year and a half later, 2 years later, I don't know exactly how far into the future it was, but this person made a post. Hello, Christian. It's been a while. This person made a post on the peace of God, saying that he was going to come to be the love. So another conference. He said he was going to come to be the love, and he said, false teachers, beware. And so I just made a post and told him, you know, welcome, that he was welcome to come to be the love. And then he made another post, and he said, just because you follow spirit doesn't mean you won't be assassinated. This is the same man. Just because you follow spirit doesn't mean you won't be assassinated. I know some of you guys remember this. I felt, now this is the reason I'm calling it the rest of the story, because the first time when he said he was going to come to Camp for Miracles and blow us away, that his guides were telling him he needed to do that, I experienced an enormous amount of fear. Remember, in spirit asked me to let go of that fear, let go of that fear. This time I felt what I'm going to call a ripple from that fear. It was not at all an enormous amount. I didn't call anyone and ask, how are we going to plan to avoid this? I went directly from the computer to my chair to spirit. It took me, honest to God, less than a minute to let go of the fear, to see the fear rushing in me and to let it go, and then ask spirit, what am I to do? So that's how I know a healing occurred, because I was faced with the same situation and my response was different, right? Now, what's funny is after I let go of the fear, I asked Spirit, what am I to do? And Spirit told me something that didn't seem to make sense at the moment. Spirit said, ask him to explain what he means. Well, at that time, it seemed pretty clear what he meant. He had threatened to kill me and Laurent before, right? He had said his guides had said he was going to blow us away. And now here's the same guy saying, just because you follow spirit doesn't mean you won't be assassinated, based on history, based on past, plus other experiences I've had with this person. It seemed pretty clear what he meant. But when I let go of the fear and I asked spirit, what am I to do? Spirit said, ask him to explain what he means. Now, I did not have fear, but I will tell you, others did. There are people in this room who did. There were people who started wanting to cancel their Be the Love registrations. Yeah, Monica just said she almost didn't come. Pamela wanted to call the police. She wanted to call the police and get a restraining order. I told her to wait. I said, wait, Pamela, wait. And I made that post, and I asked him what he meant by that. Now, the funny thing is, this is kind of the joke in it all, is that he wasn't around when I made that post. So it was like 6 hours before he responded. And so in that 6 hours, this was giving other people the opportunity to panic. And I was explaining to them, let's just wait. Let's just see what he says. You know, here was my guidance. Let's not do anything. So for now, for 6 hours, instead of me being in fear like in the previous experience, now I'm being the comforter. After about 6 hours or so, he saw the post and he came back. And he said, gosh, I want to remember his exact words if I can. I don't know if I can remember his exact words, but I definitely remember his explanation. His explanation was that he did believe I was a false teacher. And I may have told you all before, he was someone who wanted to be in a romantic relationship with me. And I believe his feeling that I was a false teacher came from my lack of desire to be in a relationship with him. So he did believe that I was a false teacher. And he felt like he needed to save the world by showing everyone that I'm a false teacher. This was his objective. And he believed that if he came to be the love, when he walked through the door and I saw him, that I would be so disgusted, right? so upset to see him that there would be a reaction on my face that would be anything but love. And everyone would see that reaction. Everyone would see how I would recoil when he walked through the door. And through that, everyone would then know that I was a false teacher. But he would feel personally assassinated, character assassinated. Listen to what he wrote. Just because you follow spirit doesn't mean you won't be assassinated. He was talking about himself. It was not a threat. He believed he was following spirit to come and expose me as a false teacher, but it was going to hurt him. It was after this that I got clarity that the previous time when he appeared to be threatening, when he said that he was going to come and blow us away, he didn't mean like with a gun. He meant with words. He was going to out-teach us. It's at this point that I got clarity that this had all been a misunderstanding. And it turned out magnificent, because when he saw that everyone else had thought that he was going to try and come and kill me or kill someone, he was really happy that I had asked him to explain. In fact, he temporarily perceived me as his savior, saving him from, you know, being embarrassed, being seen wrong. And of course, it was spirit. Remember, spirit was his savior, because spirit is the one that asked me to ask him what he meant by that, right? He decided not to come to be the love, even, you know, after that. He decided not to come, and he had already paid like $190 deposit. We told him he could have his deposit back under these circumstances, but he actually decided to donate the deposit as a scholarship for someone else. The point, there's actually a couple of points here, several points in this story. This is a great story. The point, again, is that over a period of about 2 years, first I had an opportunity to perceive myself as physically threatened, and spirit led me to let go of that fear. Then I had another opportunity to perceive the same thing, and my reaction to it, my going to guidance was all much faster, much more mature. You can see that the lesson has been learned, right? But I think there's a second lesson in this story that, even though it doesn't really have a lot to do with this message, or not as directly with this message, that I want to share. The second thing was, when Spirit asked me during that second event, when Spirit asked me to ask him to explain what he meant, at an intellectual level, that guidance made no sense to me, because I really did think I knew what he meant. So the guidance to ask him to explain made no sense at an intellectual level. But I did it anyway, and I'm glad I did, because see, it did make sense. So guidance doesn't have to make sense to the intellect. I think that's the second point. It just happens to fit here. So, what Spirit is saying in this message, let's go back to the message, is everything that happens is happening for our awakening. And Spirit wants us to go to Him in all situations and ask Him how I am to see, right? Not decide for ourselves what this means. Listening to this paragraph again, this paragraph I'm reading right underneath, you know this. He says, your only error is listening to the false and believing the false is true. You sometimes do not recognize the false, but I am pointing those times out to you. Now you must continue walking forward in trust, always asking me to help you see. As I point a tripping stone out to you, gently remove it from your path. And when the Spirit says gently remove it from your path, what he's saying is, if I ask you to set down and let go of fear, you set down and let go of fear. If I ask you to do something specific, like write to him and ask him what he means, you write to him and ask him what he means. So by following Spirit's guidance in the moment, that's how we gently remove the stone out of our path. It's the follow-through on the guidance, whether the guidance is rest, accept, and trust, or whether the guidance is write an email, or whether the guidance is leave this place. or go to that place, right? Whatever the guidance is. Our job is not to think for ourselves. Our job is not to look at the world and think we understand. And like I said, the reason this story is so magnificent is, you know, especially if you knew all of my experience with this person, if you had the full story, you would understand why I believed this person was threatening to kill me. You know, we think we know stuff. We look at what somebody has said and we think we know why they said it, and we think they know what we meant, and we think we have a right to be offended or a right to be afraid. But what Spirit is telling us is we don't know anything. We're walking around believing the false. If we're walking around believing the false, look how confused we are. Spirit is telling us our job is to ask Him always, how am I to see this? What am I to do now? Right? This is really emphasized in the teachings of Inner Ramana. Your only error is listening to the false and believing the false is true. You sometimes do not recognize the false. That's because you're so damn sure it's true. You sometimes do not recognize the false, but I am pointing those times out to you. Now you must continue walking forward in trust. The in trust part is important. You know, when it looks like somebody's threatening to kill you, going to Spirit instead of calling the police, that's trust. Right? Now you must continue walking forward in trust, always asking me to help you see. As I point a tripping stone out to you, gently remove it from your path. Eager willingness will keep your steps consistent with me. Eager willingness, that's what it takes. I have to want to awaken more than I want this body to live. Because if I want this body to live more, then when it seems like somebody's threatening to kill me, I'm not going to take the time to go to Spirit, and I'm not going to take the time to follow Spirit's gentle guidance. It's going to be a hell of a lot better for me to call the police, right? And if Spirit gave me guidance to call the police, then I would, of course. I don't want to limit the guidance that Spirit may give. But my point here is that we think we know, and we don't take the time to check for what we are to do. We don't let Spirit point out the errors in our own mind. We forget that this is all about awakening. We don't have that eager willingness to awaken. Instead, we have eager willingness to save our bodies, or eager willingness to save our reputations, or eager willingness to save our money, right? Spirit wants us to have eager willingness to awaken. Everything else is there to help us awaken. Eager willingness will keep your steps consistent with me. When you are afraid, Spirit says, next paragraph. When you are afraid, see only resistance to letting go of seeing the false as true. Okay, so let's just pause for a second. Let's remember this particular story when this was happening to me. This was the first time that I thought my life was being threatened. And there was a lot of fear, which at the human level is natural, but we're here to let go of the human level. But there was a lot of fear. Now, if you had asked me, if you had called me and you'd said, Regina, you sound terrified, what are you so afraid of? I would have said, this person is threatening to kill me. That was the cause of my fear. That's what I would have said at that point. Spirit is saying no. No. And you remember A Course in Miracles tells us we're never upset for the reason we think? Spirit is saying, no, 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 you were not upset because he threatened to kill you. You were afraid because you were resisting letting go of seeing the false as true. You wanted to believe your story about what you are, a vulnerable body, your story about who this guy is, he's this dangerous person to be afraid of, your story about what the world is, your story. You wanted to believe your stories. You were afraid because you wanted to believe your stories more than you wanted to believe truth. That's what Spirit is saying. Remember, I am never upset for the reason I think. In fact, let me pull out A Course in Miracles and let me just point out to you as a reminder where this particular lesson is, what set of lessons it falls in with. It's near the beginning. It's in the first 20 lessons. I am never upset for the reason I think is lesson number 5. I am never upset for the reason I think. Do you want to hear what the first 4 lessons were? I'm sure you could probably recite them with me, but listen, okay? Nothing I see means anything. I have given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. I do not understand anything I see. These thoughts do not mean anything. I am never upset for the reason I think. And now, why is Spirit telling us we're upset? Why are we afraid? He says it's only resistance to letting go of seeing the false as true. And otherwise, I want to believe my thoughts do have meaning. I want to believe that what I see has a specific meaning. I want to believe that I understand. And because I want to hold on to all of that meaning, I'm afraid. So I'm not afraid because this person wants to kill me. I'm afraid because I want to believe my story, my illusion. But Spirit says, from A Course in Miracles, then we'll return to this message, Spirit says, nothing I see means anything. Not even, someone on the phone sounding drunk, telling me that his guides have said he has to blow me away, right? It doesn't mean anything. That's what Spirit is saying. Nothing I see means anything. I have given everything I see all the meaning it has for me. That includes this body. When I look down at this body and I see it and I say, that's me, that's a meaning I've given. I've given the meaning that this is me. I have given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. I do not understand anything I see. These thoughts do not mean anything. I am never upset for the reason I think. And now returning to the message, Spirit says, when you are afraid, see only resistance to letting go of seeing the false as true. That's the only reason I am upset. Resistance to letting go. I don't want to let go of seeing the false as true. I still want to believe my stories. That's why I'm upset. That's why I'm afraid. I want to believe the world is real. I want to believe this body is me. When you are afraid, see only resistance to letting go of seeing the false as true. When you recognize resistance as hailing the false as true, hailing, like the image I had when this line came was literally like us bowing down to a king, like there's a king in a carriage going down the street, and we're all going, hail to the king, and bowing to the king. And what I understood was this is what I was doing with this man. And this situation where I believed he was threatening to kill Laurent and me, and I was getting so afraid, I was hailing the false as true. Because I was putting all of my energy and belief into it, right? I was going, at first, until I joined with Spirit, until Laurent didn't help me, thank you, Laurent, and I went to Spirit. I was hailing this situation as true. When you recognize resistance as hailing the false as true, your desire to hold to fear will die. That's because your true desire is strong now. You've come along the way enough to know there is no turning back. When you know you cannot go back, there is also no reason for delay. So what Spirit is saying here is, Regina, I know that you were really scared because you thought someone was trying to kill you, and you thought you were a body, and you were falling hook, line, and sinker for the story. But then, when you finally remembered to come to me, and you asked me for guidance, and I pointed out to you that the only reason this situation was happening was to help you awaken, you remembered your desire to awaken. And you did as I asked. I asked you to let go of fear, and you let go of fear. Beyond that, I was told to do nothing. By the way, in this first situation, I never called the man back. I never called Camp for Miracles. My doing guidance was do nothing. And, this person didn't even show up at Camp for Miracles. So the guidance the Spirit gave me was to let go of my fear, and other than that, do nothing. And Spirit is saying to me, once you came to me, and once I gave you my perspective, Spirit's perspective, that this was here to help you awaken, you accepted that. And he's saying, this is what you're always going to do now. He's saying, you have come far enough, right? Far enough. You are aware enough of your desire to awaken that if you come to me and let me point out for you that this situation is just here to help you awaken, he's saying, you will always follow my guidance. He's telling me, you will always follow my guidance because you do want to awaken. He's basically telling me you still need my help to shift your perspective. But when you come to me, you will allow that shift because you want to awaken. And then again, you can see where the title of the message comes from. You're closer to the kingdom than you think. I need Spirit's help. I need to remember to go to Him. I need to ask Him how to see. I need to ask Him what I am to do. But I will do that, and I will follow guidance. That is no longer full resistance, is it? Because full resistance just believes its own thoughts. When you are afraid, see only resistance to letting go of seeing the false as true. When you recognize resistance as hailing the false as true, your desire to hold to fear will die. That's because your true desire is strong now. You've come along the way enough to know there is no turning back. When you know you cannot go back, there is also no reason for delay. So what he's saying to me is, you know, you've made it through this particular situation that came to you to help you awaken. There will be others. There will be others. You have other lessons to learn, other false beliefs to let go of. So just come to me right away next time. There's no reason to delay. No reason to, you know, spend even 5 minutes trying to avoid the situation. As soon as you notice that you are in wrong perception, and you know wrong perception because you are upset, right? It could be angry, it could be fear, it could be feeling unworthy, but you know what wrong perception feels like. As soon as you know you are in wrong perception, come to me. There's no reason for delay. No reason to suffer for a while first and then come to me. You don't have to do that anymore, is what he's saying. You are still at a place that you will perceive wrongly. But now you know you can just bring that to me. So do that. Do that. He continues. He says, resistance is strong. I won't tell you it isn't. But resistance only comes from you. If it comes from you, you must be stronger than it is. Resistance can never win over you. This is an impossibility. It can only rule as you let it rule. When you have tired of its hold, you will let go and it will fall away. So if I do choose to be afraid for half an hour, an hour, a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, or I choose to be mad, right? or I choose to be anything else, any other type of upset. That's just me holding on to my resistance, Spirit says. That's how he defines it. That's me holding on to my resistance. And he says, but I don't have to. You know, any thought that says that resistance is stronger than me is not true. Because the resistance comes from me, therefore I must be stronger than it. So all I really have to do is remember my desire to awaken, remember my willingness. And then I can go to Spirit and ask for help. I can go to Spirit and say, how am I to see this? What am I to do? Spirit says, remember that no situation is different. No two things can be anything but the same. Treat it as having no difference, and it shall all be handled the same. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you stub your toe and get pissed off, or if somebody seems to threaten to kill you and you get afraid. It's the same. Little annoyances, great big giant fears. The same. They're all misperceptions. Anything but, you know, perfect peace, love, joy. It's a misperception. And every single misperception, as long as you are still capable of misperceiving, right, as long as that's your reaction, you're still capable of misperceiving, then what you need to do when you misperceive is come to me. That's his guidance here. And then, look, he gave me a little assignment at the bottom. He says, make a list now of everything that seems different and accept it as the same. And I don't remember my list, but I do remember doing this exercise. I do remember that, you know, I didn't think, you know, for example, I'm making this up because I don't remember my list, but like I didn't think stubbing my toe and somebody threatening to kill me was the same. So as I sat down to do this exercise, I could make lists and I could see that I thought that there were, you know, minor little annoyances and that there were these great big huge things. And, you know, Spirit just asked me to make this list now of everything that seems different and accept that it is all the same, right? All upsets are the same. Their resistance to letting go of the faults. Imagine that. You stub your toe, you get pissed off. That's resistance to letting go of the faults. You want to believe the world is true. That's why you're pissed off that you stubbed your toe. I am never upset for the reason I think. Back to A Course in Miracles. We might as well drill this stuff into us so that it will be there, right, the next time we need it. Nothing I see means anything. And with the stub your toe example, I'm going to say, you know, nothing I feel means anything. Right? The headache. Nothing I feel means anything. Nothing I experience means anything. You know, nothing I experience. See is the same as perceive, right? Nothing I perceive means anything would probably be the clearest way to understand that. It's not just physical vision. It's everything that I experience in the world. It's all of my perception. Nothing I perceive means anything. I have given everything I perceive all the meaning it has for me. I have given everything I perceive all the meaning it has for me. I wish Earl Purdy was here. Boy, he could really help us with this, couldn't he? I have given everything I perceive all the meaning it has for me. I do not understand anything I perceive. And this is where we start surrendering, when we get this at the heart level, because then we have to go to Spirit, because if we don't understand it, we don't have a clue what to do. I don't understand anything I perceive. That opens my heart now. That's like, thank you for helping me to see that. That I don't understand anything I perceive, so I must go to Spirit and ask, how am I to see this? What am I to do? What am I to think? Because I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. I do not understand anything I perceive. I don't understand anything that I perceive. I am completely ignorant. I think in the Bible, Jesus says, like a little child. right? He says you must become like little children to inherit the kingdom of God. We have to ask Father, you know, as a symbol, ask Holy Spirit, what is this? What's it for? What am I to do with it? How am I to see it? What am I to think about it? Because I don't understand anything. These thoughts do not mean anything. Everything I'm thinking about the past, everything I'm thinking about the future, everything I think about who I am, everything I think about who you are, everything I think about what you mean by what you're typing on the board, right? All of these thoughts, everything I'm thinking, they don't mean anything. I am never upset for the reason I think. The only reason I could ever be upset, from the smallest annoyance to the most giant fear, there's only one reason in the whole wide world that I could be upset. Even if a bear is chasing me, right? If a bear is chasing me and I am scared for my life, it's because I think I am this body. It's because I want to believe the false is true. There is only one reason in the whole wide world that I could be upset. Because I want to believe the false is true. Resistance to knowing myself is the only cause of upset. You guys getting this? I mean, this is amazing. Resistance to knowing myself is the only cause of upset. Therefore, in the willingness to know myself, all upset disappears. In the willingness to know myself, above all else I want to see, right? Above all else I want to know what I am. Above all else I want to know the truth. In that willingness, all upset disappears. It cannot exist. The only cause of upset is resistance to knowing myself. And that doesn't matter what your story is, doesn't matter what my story is, doesn't matter how big, how little it seems, this is always true. That is cool. That is cool. So the name of this message... You are closer to the kingdom than you think. Why? Well, Spirit says because in this particular time frame, at least in my life, because I was willing to come to Spirit and ask, how am I to see? Maybe it took me an hour to do that. Maybe it took me a week. Maybe it took me a couple of months. But eventually I figured out that I didn't have to suffer and I would go to Spirit. That realization enough is enough to bring you into the kingdom. To stop thinking for yourself. Start asking Spirit how I am to see. That, if you have got that, you may still seem to be suffering a lot, but if you're going to Spirit, going to Spirit, going to Spirit, you are closer to the kingdom than you think. That's the moral of the story. And at this particular time in my life, when I was with Laurent, there were lots of misperceptions. I had lots of misperceptions in this relationship. You're going to hear more stories. You probably won't even hear them all because there aren't messages with all of them, and I'm letting the messages guide me. You know, like one misperception I had with Laurent, which there's not a message for, is I had this strong misperception at one point that he was using me. And when I had that perception, I just wanted him to go away. But then I noticed the pain, right? The pain of that belief, and I went to Spirit. See? That's what Spirit says. He says, you will do this. And I did. I had the misperception first. I wasn't spiritually mature enough to not have the misperception. I had the misperception first. That was my spiritual maturity at this time. I still misperceived right off the bat. I still listened to ego first. So I allowed this misperception to grow, I don't know how long, you know, a couple of months, a few weeks, I don't know. So I wasn't even fast about it because I let this misperception, once the idea got in my mind that he was using me, I let this misperception grow. I let it grow. I let it grow. I'll tell you when I noticed it is one time when, you know, every few months Laurent had to go back to France because of his visa. And there was this one period when this misperception that he was using me was growing in my mind. And I recognized it when I dropped him off at the airport and did not kiss him goodbye. It was my own non-kissing that made me realize, hey, something's here. You know, so sometimes it takes something to wake us up. You know, until then we're just walking around blindly believing the stuff in our mind. But when I didn't kiss him, yeah, that'll teach him. When I didn't send him off to Paris without a kiss, that's when I realized, I got a problem here. I'm misperceiving. I am misperceiving. I did. And I went right home and I asked for help. And this is one time when I didn't receive a message. I didn't receive a message, so there's no message to share, just a story. But I shared my perception with Spirit that Laurent was using me. And Spirit reminded me through kind of like a picture memory. Spirit reminded me of that day, that very first day, way back when I started studying A Course in Miracles, when I got on my knees on a Disney cruise and I said, I will learn anything you want me to learn. I will do anything you want me to do. Just make me useful for the rest of my life. Spirit reminded me of that prayer. And then Spirit said to me, he's not using you. I am. And with that one line, that one memory and that one line, that whole misperception that Laurent was using me fell away. Laurent wasn't using me. Spirit was. You see how quickly Spirit can fix our misperceptions if we let him? That changed everything for me. That changed everything. All right, I feel like a song. So I'm going to play one of Helena's songs. These are actually all, Resta songs that Helena has redone. Laurent, you might enjoy this because you know Resta. You might enjoy this. I have no idea which one I want to play. I think I'm going to go ahead and play You Can't Fool Me. You know that one, Laurent. You and Resta and Larry did that one together on stage in Wimberley. So let's see. You Can't Fool Me is song number 7. Let me go to song number 7. And when it's on the top of the hour, I will stop it. But we'll listen to it until the top of the hour. Here we go.
Power comes only from God.
Isn't that awesome? Okay, you can't fool me. I know who you are. You are the Christ. I love you. Thanks for the extra minute so we could finish the song, Julie. Good night, everyone. Bye.